We're not perfect, but we follow the perfect standard. The psalmist declared in Psalm number 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect in converting the soul. I got to thinking the other day about the summer vacation is just about over for the children. And soon they'll be returning back to school. And by the time a student graduates high school, he will have invested just over 15,000 hours in understanding a wide variety of subjects considered necessary for success in today's world. And to the children, the students that's in this auditorium today, if I could say just one thing to each of them, it would have to be that you will learn a lot in school during the in which years you attend, but please remember that the most important lessons are found in God's textbook. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your encouragement, and I'm happy to be here. Have you ever got to thinking that you need a break, that maybe you need a vacation, spend 3 or 4 days, but only to get back home and say, it's good to get away, but it sure is nice to be back home. I remember a gospel preacher. He would preach 6 or 7 meetings at, or 6 or 7 sermons at a meeting. Plus, he'd teach the Sunday morning Bible study class. And at the end of each meeting, he'd always say on his final night, one way or the other, I'm going home tonight. He was either going home to be with his good wife, Nancy, or either he was going to go home to be with the Lord, his refuge and his fortress. Has it ever occurred to you that this could be the last sermon that you ever hear? We don't really know. We could be killed in an accident today. There was a preacher one time, W.C. Sanderford. He preached the morning lesson. Like any other Lord's Day, he was heading home in his automobile. Only this time, he slumped over his steering wheel. His wife reached over and steered the car to a stop. W.C. had suffered a massive heart attack, and he died. Unknown to him and the brethren, he had preached his last sermon. If this was my last sermon to preach, I'd want to remind you of the wise man's statement when he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And how true that is. The rich man in Luke 12, he had plans for many years, but God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Life is so very uncertain, and you and I have to admit there's so many things out of our control. We need to do things and remember it could be the last time that we ever do them. This may be the last sermon I ever preach, or this may be the last sermon you ever hear. We need to express our thanks to God Almighty for his loving grace. And just as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, although I am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this were my last sermon that I ever preached, I'd want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm a far away from being a perfect preacher, but I follow the perfect standard. The psalmist declared in Psalm number 19 and verse 7, "The law of the Lord's perfect in converting the soul. His way is perfect. His way has been tried. He's the buckler of those who trust him." How about you? You trust him today? Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and have come short unto the glory of God." I am a sinner. I'm a sinner who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when someone makes a mistake and sins, sometimes he has a notion that he can be no further value to the Lord's church. Should you ever get to thinking like that, I suggest to you to think about Moses. There was a time when he had disobeyed God in the waters of Moriah. Remember, God told Moses to speak to the rock. But Moses hit the rock. He smote the rock twice. Water came forth anyway, and the congregation did drink. But after Moses disobeyed God, he realized what he did, and he preached obedience on the plains of Moab. Obedience. Moses wanted to get the point across to the people of Israel that if you disobey God, the punishment was going to be harsh. Whatever God says in his word, we need to do it. Moses, and like a lot of people today who rebel against God's plan of salvation, will not be able to enter into the promised land. And the promised land is up there. Or you might think about Peter, the disciple of the Lord, the one who was firmly associated with Jesus, an apostle. He denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. And he cursed him and he swore to him. But shortly after that, he preached the first recorded sermon on the day of Pentecost. And Peter went on to preach to the Gentiles and wrote letters that bore his name, 1 and 2 Peter. And he said in Luke 5, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." And as the publican said in Luke 18 and verse 13, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." God uses imperfect people to teach the perfect law of liberty. Are you an imperfect follower of Christ? God can use you. But if I had one more sermon to preach, I'd point out that there is a God. And that one and only living God made all things. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." And 10 times in the first chapter, it's recorded, "And God said," and it was. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That so much fitly shows that the great power that God possesses, all he has to do is speak, and it is. The psalmist declared in Psalm number 14 and verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." There is so much beauty all around us, the trees, the hills, the grasses, the flowers, the doves in the air, the eagle, all the birds. Look up into heaven at night, all the stars and the moon and the clouds. All those things declare the glory of God, and that makes no excuse that there's no God. As Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Son of God said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, have you not read that which has made them at the beginning, made them male and female? And as we studied a week or two ago in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and that all is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. There is a God, and he's a just God. And we are God-made, and you can take that to the bank. We have responsibilities to God. And the Bible teaches that God loves us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And God is not only love, he is of goodness, and he is of severity. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, Paul said, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. We have responsibilities. We have a lot of responsibilities in this old world. But a gospel preacher, John Rohde, one time said, there's no greater responsibility to man than to obey God. And that pretty well sums up the whole matter. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, it's recorded, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. We need to fear God and keep his commandments. So if this were to be my last sermon, I would remind you that we are God-made and we have responsibilities to God. Not only to him, but we have responsibility to his word. This book that we have before us contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's way, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass. Here, paradise is restored, and heaven opened, and the gates of hell is closed. Christ is its grand object, our good is its design, and the glory of God is in. It should fill their memory, rule the heart, and guide thy feet. Read it slowly, read it frequently, read it prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It's given to us all in life. It will be opened in a judgment, and it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility. It's going to reward the greatest labor, and it will condemn all who trifle against the sacred contest. This book is not the book of the month. It's not the book of the week. It is the book of all books. It's the only book that tells me where I come from, why I'm here and where I'm going to go when it's all over. This book was inspired of God, and it could not have been written by the imagination of any man. Paul penned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And James said it's the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. And it must not be added to, and it must not be subtracted from, or substituted for, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Each one of us here today need to read it, we need to believe it, we need to obey it, because one of these days, you and I is going to be judged by it. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's John chapter 12 and verse 48. The psalmist declared, thy word is settled in heaven. It's set. Psalm number 119 and verse 89. But just in case, I'd forget to tell you something that would be in my last words of my last sermon. I'd want to remind you to keep on reading, learning, studying, and obeying God's word. Paul said, till I come again, give attendance to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Do you feel burdens from your sins? Take the yoke of Jesus. He's lowly in heart. Study. Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul said that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And then Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, remember the rest of that? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. But in addition to keeping the Lord's word, I'd want to inform everyone who's never obeyed the gospel of Christ to change and obey it before it's too late. Mark 16, verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That word and, that couples that together. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, Paul penned that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with all thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Peter penned, and Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2. And verse 38. The Apostle John said, live by the doctrine of Christ and worship God according to the spirit of truth. Why is that, John? So you will receive a full reward. That's 2 John chapter 9. And be found faithful till death, that you might obtain a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And if this were my last sermon, I would remind you to press on. Keep on keeping on. Never quit. Never add to or take away from God's word. His word is perfect. Stay mature in the faith and fight the good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Always putting on the whole armor of God. And prove and defend and contend for the faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. And always try to convert and help save that which was lost. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 16. And you need to couple that with James chapter 5 and verse 19. James chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And don't get discouraged. Have patience. Don't let yourself get shipwrecked. Always teach and preach God's word in faith and in love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And finally, if this were my last sermon that I ever preached, stay on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Finish the course and be prepared to meet thy God. John chapter 12 and verse 48. There's one church. Do you need to become a member of that one church today that Paul talked about in Ephesians 4 and chapter 4? There's one body. And that one body belongs to Christ. Jesus promised to build but one church, Matthew 16, verse 18. And by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The church is important. And the church in which you can be added to today by God was purchased by the precious blood of Christ. He gave his life for you and he gave his life for me. You're not in the church to be saved. You're in the church because you are saved. The church is the saved. Don't you want to be a member of the church that Christ built? There's one true church. Just as this could be my last sermon I ever preached, it could be your last sermon that you ever hear. If we can assist you in obeying the gospel, please make your way to the front now as we stand and sing.